you doing? In these tough economic times, you may find yourself a little short on cash. So where you gonna go? The bank? They don't got no money. They're begging for scratch from Uncle Sam.
Nah, you need to go to the place that'll get you the cash you need. Vinny and Angelo's.
Bad credit? No credit? Hey, no problem.
Yeah, because we know where you live.
And that's good enough for us.
So stop by Vinny and Angelo's today. Conveniently located in the industrial park out by the airport.
At Vinny and Angelo's, if you got problems money can solve, we say forget about it.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
A village in Nepal is constructed entirely of frozen mountain climbers. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Scientists exploring near the base of Mount Everest have discovered a remote village built with the frozen corpses of failed mountaineers. Team leader Dr. Kevin Tron was at first horrified by what he saw, but later expressed admiration for the villagers' craftsmanship.
I've never before seen a vaulted ceiling so well built entirely out of Australians.
Village elders told the explorers of their hope that an avalanche will soon provide enough Italians to complete construction of the Sherpa Hall of Fame. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Supermarket Deli Worker.
Mr. Supermarket Deli.
Some are content to stock shelves. Others, merely cashiers. But you, sir, operate the most dangerous machine known to man, the meat slicer.
There's a finger in my olive loaf.
When we ask for a pound of pastrami, Mr. Supermarket Deli Worker, you plop down a pound and a half and say, is a little over okay?
Only if I could pay you a little.
And no one cuts the cheese quite like you.
That cheddar's really sharp, yeah.
So the next time you're holding number 67 and they're calling out number 23, wave your salami and salute to the man who's number one, Mr. Supermarket Deli Worker, a real American hero.
Mr. Supermarket Deli Worker.
Your hairnet just fell into the coleslaw.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, March 4th. 2010, I insist. It is 2010. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Sam.
My beloved co-host.
Aww.
You're looking like, I can't even describe. You're looking gorgeous today.
Really?
Yeah, with red. Red suits you very
really?
Nicely.
Really? Thank you. Try to describe. I do.
My favorite colors are black and red. And
oh, really?
I like them when they go together, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Again, it's one of those throw it together, smack it, flip it, rub it down.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that's cool. So you didn't sleep in this outfit last night,
I slept
right?
in the tights that I have on, the black tights and the top.
I see. Okay, you
I
did.
I just threw the skirt on.
So it's becoming like a habit now.
It's kind of like the walk of shame, but without the shame part. Like, I'm not doing any kind of crazy one-night stand or anything. I'm looking like, I get up the next day like,
you look like it, yeah.
Well, I don't totally.
No, that's not what I mean.
Yeah,
no.
I'm putting on the the clothes, you know.
Uh-huh.
The same clothes. Like,
you're having a problem with that thing, right?
I know.
What seems to be the problem? Just push it toward the microphone a little bit.
There we go.
Yeah, bring it up a little more, a little higher. That's all you got to do.
Okay, thanks, Sam.
There you go. You see?
I see.
Now we can hear you. So, do you usually like? I mean, do you like drinking? Do you drink?
I do. I really love drinking, actually. But I'm not like a drunk, you know.
Right.
I'm a 2 or 3 drink person. I've pushed it, you know. I've pushed the limits. But I'm not a real... I don't have a high tolerance for alcohol, and I'm not really that big of a person.
So it's not like something you do regularly?
No, like And especially like budget wise, like if I'm, you know, I can't really afford to just go back and not that, you know, a couple drinks isn't that big, but you know, normally I just, you know, if you're on a tight budget, you know, I don't really go out.
Yeah, it costs a lot.
Well, it can add up and it's like frivolous stuff I don't need.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, but no, I do. I love wine. Uh-huh. I love wine. And then,
most women love wine. I don't know why that
it
is.
It just feels elegant, but it tastes good. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know. I just think it's its own kind of world.
Mm.
The world of wine.
Yeah.
But if I'm trying to like cut out the carbohydrates, mm-hmm. because it's Los Angeles and sometimes you have to do that,
uh-huh.
then I'll go for a Bacardi and Diet Coke
uh-huh.
with a lime.
Yeah, sounds
And that's okay. It's not the best, but it's kind of like you're like, okay, this will be good.
I like rum and Coke. It's pretty good.
Yeah, Diet Coke and whatever. Apparently, there's no sugar or carbohydrates, although all alcohol turns to sugar in your bloodstream.
Oh, does it?
It does, but but the reality is if you can eliminate the excess sugars, it can help.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Yeah. I love sugar, man. I mean, I do drink Diet Coke and stuff because I don't want to put on all the calories just from the soda I drink, because I drink a lot of soda.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What, so what's your favorite sugary thing? I mean, are you a sweet guy? Or?
I love chocolate. You know, like Lindt chocolate.
Gosh, Sam, I love those too. I just don't think, I don't always feel like men don't really love chocolate like women do.
No, I love chocolate. Are you kidding? I got to have a couple of pieces at least every day. You know?
Yeah, like a couple of those Lindt balls.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah. Like you bite them and they kind of goo in your mouth.
Yeah, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh my gosh, we would be 500 pounds together.
Really?
There would be no restrainer. I'd be like, pass the lens.
So I take it you love chocolate too.
Oh my gosh, I can hump chocolate.
Yeah.
I can
chocolate
give it.
Chocolate is cool.
I love chocolate. It's an aphrodisiac.
Yeah, that's what they say. I don't know about that though.
Well, I mean, whatever. I mean, anything that tastes really great isn't an aphrodisiac, because I mean it's like a foodgasm. You're turned on by it.
That's true.
So
that's
why not?
True.
Yeah. It's that. It's. I think it's high in, is it not potassium, but it, magnesium, I think chocolate is.
Mm.
Whatever. It sounds like a good mineral you might need.
It does sound like
anything
it,
to justify it is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And it's antioxidants in dark chocolate. Like the higher
dark chocolate.
In the higher cacao amount.
Except I'm not crazy about dark chocolate.
I like dark chocolate, but not as much as I like milk. I like it sugary and creamy.
I know. Wow. What about white chocolate? Do you like white chocolate?
No, it's for wusses.
No, huh?
It's not the real damn deal.
No, but I mean, it's...
No, it's bullshit. If
it's
you like
different.
White chocolate, get out of my face.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just... No.
It's different.
Don't even try to bond with
I
me.
I like both.
If
Shut
you
up.
Don't try to bond with me over chocolate if you like white chocolate, because it's not even real.
Okay.
I don't even know how they make it.
Uh-huh.
How do they make it?
Yeah, I don't think it's chocolate, actually, but
yeah,
it is...
It's not. It's not good. It's called white something.
Yeah, but it tastes good. I don't care what they call it.
Whatever.
I enjoy it. Yeah.
No. Chocolate all the way. Chocolate all the way. I would take a bath in chocolate.
Yeah. Like white chocolate and macadamia nut.
That's okay.
Cookies.
Those are pretty decent. Those are decent. I still, again, if it was between an oatmeal cookie and white chocolate macadamia, I'm going to go with white chocolate macadamia.
Right.
You know, the distant cousin of chocolate. However, you know, if it's still like a chocolate chip cookie, chocolate chunk cookie and white chocolate chip, that's a no freaking brainer.
Yeah.
No brainer.
I see.
Yeah, see, it doesn't even count. It's not even the same freaking thing.
Well, that's what my favorite cookie is, and there you go, and that's it. You're gonna have to live with it.
Okay, is that your favorite cookie?
Yeah.
BS. Whatever.
No, I love it.
Your Facebook status says totally awesome.
That's
totally
true.
Awesome.
Totally awesome.
What is that?
I don't know. I felt good yesterday,
good.
So I wrote it down, you know?
And the girl's like, "What?" I don't know, Cheryl, she's like, what? And you're like, life.
Yeah.
And I was like, good for you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I do get positive.
Yeah, and life is good. I don't think you're negative.
No, I'm not. Sometimes I can be, but for the most part, I try. Yeah, you see, for me, I have to work at it, you know?
Everybody's got to work
but,
at something.
Yeah. But I've got to say, the past couple of years have been very good to me, you know, and I can't complain at all. I've been very happy. So, yeah.
What would you say the top three things are that have been about life that have just been so great to you?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously the station, you know, it's like I sort of like define myself by the station now, you know, because it's so much part of my life.
Yeah.
And what else? I don't know. I guess I just, you know, I mean, the usual things, you know, family and stuff like that. But I had that before, you know.
Yeah.
So
all the other stuff. But, you know, this is really what's making me happy.
Yeah.
No, I get
it. No, because, I mean, through the station, I've achieved a lot of what I wanted to. You know, I mean, it made me sort of like feel worthwhile and able and that sort of thing. You know, and I mean, when you're able to build something and it's successful, it's a great feeling. And I never really had that like for an extended period of time.
What did you do before the station?
You know, I did a lot of things over the years. You know, I used to have a computer animation company.
Really?
Like, back in the 90s when nobody was doing it.
Were you, like, making major money?
I was making pretty decent money, but I couldn't find anybody to help me out because nobody knew how to do this.
Oh, really?
So I was, like, overworked, and, you know, after a while, I couldn't stand it anymore. You
oh,
know?
Really?
I mean, I was getting angry with the computers and everything. You know, I mean, computers have a way of screwing up and making you feel or look like shit, you know?
Those damn computers.
Yeah, like if I had some animation to render overnight and something, and I would tell the client, come in at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. I'd come in at 8, and the computer fucked up everything, you know? So then it makes you look like shit to your client. And, you know, after a while, I just thought, I can't handle this anymore, you know?
Yeah, too much.
I was just really getting really angry.
Is it just too much, like, stress and everything?
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't even stick around to sell it. I just closed it, and that's it, you know? But that was a long time ago. Right before the station, I was doing internet marketing, you know, like getting clients and ranking them high on Google. And
what, did you like that? I have friends that do that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. But
so you're like a tech guy. You're like a tech-savvy kind of dude.
Kind of. Well, business-y. But that's the thing. I'm not. Yeah, you see, it's like I have a mixture of a lot of things, and that's a great thing is I feel everything I've done in my life is sort of like culminated in my building the station because I need to understand graphic design. I need to understand marketing. I need to understand audio. You know, all these different things.
Yeah.
And these are things I learned over the years, you know, so I probably wouldn't have been able to launch the station you know, if I hadn't been through some of these things that I've done, you know.
That's cool. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's sort of like I'm a jack of all trades now, which is perfect for what I'm doing.
And what is your wife's background in?
Her background, what, as far as work?
Yeah. I mean, because
she's like a businesswoman. I mean,
yeah,
because
she's helping out so much. It's like I'm curious, like, how that kind of.
Yeah, no, she didn't do. I mean, neither one of us was doing radio before this, you know.
I love it, though.
Yeah. This is sort of like. You know, came out of the blue for me, you know. I mean, it was like a thing in 30 days. I put it together and launched it, you know.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I know.
That's
and
so
I knew
cool.
shit about it before,
but
you know.
But how inspiring is that for people that just feel, there's so many things people want to do and they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to go out of doing it. They feel underqualified. They feel intimidated. And it's kind of like just go for it, you know. And
yeah, yeah.
Worse.
You know, what I learned is this. If you sit around and you really, and you tell yourself, you know, I really need to be in business for myself. I want to have a business. I want to make a lot of money. Usually it doesn't happen that way. You know, the way that it happens is if you're not really looking for it and if you can spot opportunities, you know, if you see something out there and you go, wow, you know, I mean, it'll ignite something in your head, you know. And
yeah.
Then, so it's not like you went looking for it. You kind of found it and now you're going to make something out of it, you know.
I think that's so cool.
So,
I think
so it's about
cool.
opportunity and you know, they said luck is the
preparation meets opportunity.
Exactly,
yeah.
Something like that. I heard
so
it from Oprah once. I don't know why.
Yeah, it sounds like a very Oprah quote.
Yeah.
It's very Oprah-esque.
I never watch her, but that was one thing that stuck in my mind, you know?
Yeah.
Opportunity and preparation.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, love me some Oprah.
Yeah. So we didn't finish describing you. So you're in black today, as usual.
And red.
And yes, and you have like red touches, like the lipstick and the ribbon in your hair and stuff, and a headband, whatever.
Yeah, it's
red. And what about are the shoes red?
Shoes are black, and then I got a red schoolgirl skirt on.
Oh, so the skirt is red too. Yeah, I don't remember the way you walked in this morning, but from what I'm seeing now. It very nice color coordination.
Thank you, Sam. And you smell good as usual.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You really do. I like your cologne. You
really?
Walk in and it's like a little wafted.
And
goodness.
You know, it's amazing because I'm always told that you can't really smell my cologne. And I try not to put a lot. You know, it's like I don't really like the people that walk into an elevator and it's like, whew, you know.
Especially if it smells like grandma or something.
Yeah, you know, or something like that. Or
yeah,
like
if it smells like a 45-year-old divorced lady.
Yeah, air freshener or something.
Yeah.
You know, those older ladies with the rose smelling perfumes.
Yeah, I remember I used to work at Starbucks and everybody came in freshly, you know, just showered and perfumed. And there would be some women that would come in and it's just like somebody needed to sit them down. But I mean, just starched hair and then like this business perfume and I'm a business woman looking for a man one day, squirt, squirt. And it was just so much.
Yeah.
And I, not that there's anything against women who are 45, I'm just saying that whole connotation of kind of just like, you know, just kind of out of it and a little, you know.
Yeah. So maybe I should put on less because you were able to smell it from a distance.
No, I mean, I walked by. I smelled it. I got a big woof.
I see, okay.
I went in for the kill. I actually, I was seeing a guy and he has a real sensitivity to perfume. And he like asked me to go to the bathroom one time and like dilute my perfume because it was like driving him crazy.
Wow.
I was like really offended, even though it was because he has allergies.
And it really, you were offended.
I was offended. Yeah. It turned me off. I was like, I don't want to hang out around right now. I was like, it was just weird. Can you go to the bathroom and like take care of that cologne?
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, I literally almost left. I was like, you know what? Even though I get where you're coming from and this is bothering your sinuses or whatever the hell the answer is,
uh-huh.
I'm turned off and I don't want to be here now.
Yeah, I understand.
It's like a catch 22. You're there and you can risk telling her, hey, I can't breathe oxygen around you because your perfume is choking my lungs,
uh-huh.
and then her get all pissed and be turned off and then, you know, just call it a night.
Yeah.
Or you can, you know, try to deal with it, pop a couple, you know, Xanax or whatever it is.
Allergy pills.
Yeah, and then, you know, deal with it. So it was kind of one of those situations. And I said, we got past it, but I threw a little bit of a fit.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you don't like my perfume?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. That's fine.
You said you have a very sensitive nose, right?
I do. I feel like I can smell really, really good.
Really?
I feel like I have a sound sensitivity.
Really?
More so than the smell. I feel like I can hear.
Maybe you're part canine or something.
Maybe something.
You know?
Maybe I'm not even from planet Earth.
Yeah.
But no, I can hear people like chewing their food and it drives me up the damn wall.
That's right. You did say that in the movies, right?
Yeah, or like I'm watching a show or TV and like my 6'2 roommate will walk in and just she's just like clonk, 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 clonk and rustling a bag in the kitchen and opening and closing the refrigerator and I'm like, I'm like, and what am I supposed to do? Get mad at her because she's living life?
Yeah.
No, but I'm just like, oh my gosh. Everything just seems magnified.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just like, well, that's what you get.
Yeah.
That's called
there you
compromise.
Go. Well, yeah. Heightened senses.
Do you have like a pet peeve with people? Like I was talking about.
A lot.
Yeah. Like what? What's some of your pet peeves?
I don't know. I don't think about it. But yeah, normally, I mean, I like people not to stink, you know? I mean, if
well,
people
smell bad. Well, that's kind of a normal one, right?
Yeah.
Nobody likes a good BO. Like, I'm,
right.
You know, I don't really want to smell your musk.
Yeah.
Not really.
That's true. You don't like smelling balls. You
know what? It's not my preferred scent.
Right.
It's just. No.
Yeah.
Although I was listening again to my little radio station and was finding that women smell, it's like, you know, we don't realize it, but we pick up on pheromones.
Mm.
Men actually don't smell pheromones.
Really?
No, you think it was a mutual thing. No, it's maybe they smell something else. I don't know, but women smell pheromones, and they're not aware, but it's what attracts you to your mate.
Right.
Yeah, and it's biological. Like they did studies where they took T-shirts of guys and they blindfolded women and had them smell their shirt.
Right.
And the one that they were most the most not attracted, the least attracted to, was their brother. The pheromones of their brother. Or, you know, if you grew up with a sibling or somebody that you grew up that whole your life with, you have biologically there's this disc you reject their pheromones.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, you usually go for pheromones that are, I guess, complete opposite or whatever. But yeah, it's so interesting. And another funny thing is I have a friend who was seeing a guy, great, great guy, great girl. They're falling in love. They get engaged, and so she gets on the pill, birth control, and she just said that, like, after a few weeks or so, she's looking at him, she's talking to him, and she doesn't feel anything. She's like, she's like, I don't even know why we're engaged. She's like, I feel like he's my brother. Like, I really care about him, but she's like, I'm just not attracted to him. I don't want him touching me.
Out of the blue?
Out of the blue. So she calls off the engagement, and they're not engaged, they're not dating anymore, and they break up, and they stay friends, though, like, kind of friends. Well, they were distant friends. And then they started, they still stayed in touch, you know, they ran with the same circle of friends, but over time, they started hanging out again more, and she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so madly crazy in love with this guy.
Really?
She's like, oh my gosh, we gotta be together, we need to be together.
Uh-huh.
And so they get engaged again, and she gets back on birth control. And she's looking at him. She's like, oh my gosh, it's happening again. She's like, I'm not attracted to him. I don't want him to touch me. She's like, I don't know what's going on. And finally he was like, what is going on? He's like, maybe it's your birth control. So she went to her doctor and she just started to learn more about birth control and found that most birth controls suppress women's sense to be able to smell that pheromone.
Right.
And that pheromone is what attracts you to the person you... It's
right,
partly
to the man.
To what attracts you to your mate. And who.
Right.
And so women that are on birth control and then are dating could possibly... And I'm not saying this is a blanket statement against birth control. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying to be aware because right. It can suppress that innate sense of smell that you need that will attract you to the right mate.
Right.
And women that are dating people on birth control could possibly be dating somebody under a false sense of maybe they're not really the right match.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
that's very interesting.
It's very interesting. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not on birth control.
So I mean, I've heard of that, but I never heard that it's only women smelling. I thought it was the other way around.
Well,
too.
I could be wrong, but I think maybe it's not pheromones that men smell. Maybe they smell something else.
Yeah, whatever it is. But
in fact,
there was a show on the station yesterday where they talked about this, and they said how there was a doctor, a gynecologist or something, and. And he confirmed how much smell, the sense of smell.
Well, yes, I
has
mean
to
definitely
do with attraction.
Well, I definitely think sense of smell is one of the top senses for attraction. Absolutely, and men do have a sense of smell clearly, mm-hmm. and but I don't know if it's exactly like pheromones. It may be something else biologically or chemically, but I think pheromones are different.
Right.
So it may be something else that women are giving off that mm-hmm. they smell, but it's not right. necessarily pheromones. It may be something else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like that, though. I kind of feel like sometimes you're just like, when women ovulate or something, I feel like they kind of give off this like...
yeah. Like, fuck me, fuck
nah.
me.
Yeah, right. You know,
that's
the best... I painted
is.
The same picture with cute little bird sounds that are all happy and cooing, and you're like, give it to me.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing.
Anyway...
I like when I make you uncomfortable
Sam,
sometimes.
Sam. I notice that guys like it when girls are like,
No, not necessarily, but I mean, sometimes you want people to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Besides, that's the way we talk on the show.
I know,
so.
It's either sex or God or something like that. People are like, so how's the show going? I'm like, we're either talking about sex or God.
Yeah, really, sex or God today.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. So I had my show last night. Thanks for asking.
Yes, no, but I was going to, but you were going on.
Thanks for coming and supporting me, Sam.
I am so sorry, but listen, I was so busy yesterday, and it's not an excuse, really. I mean, that I'm alone now. And
you're vulnerable. You're like, I'm alone.
I don't have a lot of help, so I have to do everything myself. But I was thinking about you and about you singing and stuff, and I thought, God damn it,
Hey, God loves you.
Yeah, I mean, the least I could have done was come and
it's really not a big deal. I just like to make people feel guilty as leverage.
Well, you managed to do a good job.
A little bit of leverage, No, actually, when you're in LA, it's like you always have friends that are performing.
Right.
And if you can't catch them this time, you'll catch them next time. And you can't really penalize people. It's not the most convenient city to get around quickly get to
That's
stuff.
The thing. Maybe if it was in the Valley, I could have come for half an hour or something.
Yeah.
But it was a drive.
Yeah.
And, there was still shows going on and stuff.
Yeah, no, I definitely think about that when I do shows, too. Like, what's the most accessible for people to get to? Because it is. Yeah. It's not easy. But I had a friend that did stand-up the other day, and we got there, and she went on first, and we were late, and we missed her. And she was like, and I felt bad. But it was one of those things. I was like, you can't get pissed off at people going out of their way to come see you. And if they're late, they're late. I mean... You want to light a little bit of a fire underneath them just to get them there. But, at the same time, it's just like it'll happen or it won't happen. And you can't get pissed.
So tell me, so how did it go?
It went really, really good. Molly Malone's is a great venue in the West Hollywood area, Fairfax and 6th Street. Mm-hmm. And a lot of great music acts play there. So I was with a group that put it on called Mosaic. Mm-hmm. And Mosaic's a church that I go to, but it wasn't really a church function. It was just... The music people there were like, hey, let's throw to put together like a cool show.
I see.
And they did. And so it was kind of a mix of all different people and styles and stuff. But it was primarily more rock. And I went on third. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I am kind of like a circus on stage. Mm-hmm. I never just stick to one thing. I have to make jokes, and then I have to go into like my songs, and then I have to show you a dance I just tried.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it all works out. It works well together. But no, it's like most people just get up there with their like their band or their guitar, and they're like...
Right, they expect music, and then you come up with some comedy. And...
Yeah, I come up with a bunch of different things. I'm like, hey, I can juggle. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah.
But no, it was really good, and I tried out a new song that... a song that I wrote, and I was like, look, guys, this song I'm going to do a cappella, and it's a great song, but I'm doing all the instrumentation with my mouth because I don't have a band yet. And I did. And I did like a saxophone solo in the middle.
Really?
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, here, I'll try it. Let me see if I can do it. It worked out good. It was like...
It did. I hope so.
Here we go. Dum, 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 dum. Dum, dum, dum. Ooh. Dum, 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 dum. Dum, dum, dum. Ooh. I feel the pressure, babe. Dum, dum, dum. Ooh. Against my lips, dum dum dum, ooh. Well, I feel the way your hands grip my hips, dum dum dum, ooh. And anyway, it goes on.
Yeah.
But it's really like sultry, and then I go.
We need to get you a band. That's pretty good, yeah.
Good, huh?
So, yeah.
Is that fun?
You have a very sultry voice when you sing,
well,
right?
That's a sultry song. Some other stuff is a little more ethereal, but that's my sexy song.
That's
my sexy song. Y'all
it's pretty
my sexy
cool.
Song.
So is that what you sang yesterday?
I did sing it, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a, what they call it, kind of a, jazzy,
well, that
clubby.
Song, that song's
you know?
A little bit more dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
It's a little more sexy.
Yeah.
Because I always think of that song like with a fog machine, like smoke coming up and a cigar, and then you're like,
Yeah, like in a lounge or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want.
But
to
say. It gets really fun. Dun, 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 dun. And there is a lesson that I can't seem to learn. It gets really fun.
Yeah.
But then I have other stuff that's a little more ethereal or a little bit more like rockish. It's kind of like keeping it all fresh and stuff. But
yeah.
No, I busted out in the middle acting like I was playing the saxophone.
Really?
It was actually
well,
good.
I would.
It was actually pretty good.
I
would have good.
Fucking cracked up.
People were. They were laughing. But I gave them a heads up. I was like, look. So I'm going. Anyway, it's really. Hey, you know, build it and they will come. So,
yeah,
you know,
there you go.
Just do my thing and hopefully people jump on board and like, hey, I can play saxophone. Let me help you out with that. You know?
So anyway, I have to admit that I was completely an airhead yesterday.
No.
We tried to call an author, and they never answered. And I had a feeling something was wrong, right? So then after the show, I get home. I look at my email, my schedule, and I realized we called the wrong author on the wrong day. So, of course, they didn't answer.
That's funny. We're like, that flaky person, they're so... want to get on our radio station and then not answer their phone. Who I think they are. I love
there
it.
There you go. You know, so I thought she was not answering. And then the other interview we had scheduled for yesterday, we're wondering why we didn't call.
So, oh, man. So are we going to do both of them today?
No. Actually, the other one I rescheduled for another time. But today we're going to call Elle, who wrote the book Hunting Season, a field guide for targeting and capturing the perfect man. So
it is a fun book.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Hello?
Right? Good morning, Elle. This is Sam and Kara calling
Hi,
you.
Hi, Elle.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Kara. How are you today?
We're doing great.
We're good. Where are we calling you? What part of the country are you in?
All the way across the U.S. I'm over in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay.
New Jersey.
Where it's very cold and snowy, right?
Yes, it is. Very cold and snowy.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't know here.
I remember my last time in L.A., yes. Yeah.
Well, you sound like a lot of fun, and you wrote a very fun book.
So funny.
Yeah.
The book is funny.
Actually, I read part of it.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yes, very much so. I mean, you really took a nice approach to finding a man, and you sort of took the angle of hunters and bucks.
I love the vocab. I actually broke it down for friends. I was like, okay, guys, this is what's up. Bucks are this and this. You know, I went through the whole list. It's so cool.
So.
Well, you know, that's because the whole idea of cougar, I always say there's still somebody else who hunts a cougar, and that's a man. I like to be at the top of that food chain.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I mean, Have you been concerned with, well, let's say not concerned, but interested in how to pick up men and how to find romance? Elle?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Have I been concerned? Well, I'm a female.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Sure.
but how does the book come about?
You know, well, the book came about basically, I've been divorced for quite some time, and I am a single mom, and so I had to find a way to date that fit in my life, and I seem to be real happy, it seems, because a lot of my friends were crying the blues, mm-hmm. and I came about with the whole methodology and the terminology by trying to help some of my girlfriends over some quote-unquote slumps or heartbreaks.
Right.
And it just evolved. It worked real well. I do hunt deer, uh-huh. so I kind of used the same practices.
I see. So it was a subject you were familiar with.
Oh, so you are a real hunter.
Yes.
That's crazy.
I have hunted.
That's hysterical. You wouldn't, I mean, this. She's like, actually, I do hunt deer, just to let you know, which is where this came from. I was like, man, this girl did her research on hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, long, early hours up in the deer stand.
That's so cool. That's really cool, though.
Yeah. So, you're also talking about poaching, which, did you get to that part?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were talking about poaching. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, poaching is a big no-no. I have a special past on that one in the sense that I got caught up in it myself by accident, and it's just devastating. So I like to tell women, you know, you just don't do that. The geographical poaching, you don't go after another woman's man.
Yes.
And you got to ask and you have to be honest. I have found that out the hard way. I think I tell a little story mm-hmm. about a Mr. Buck scene in that book.
Right.
You have to ask the direct questions.
Yes.
And expect some direct answers. And if you don't like them, then you need to move on because you don't want to get caught up in anybody else's web.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, actually, that's what happened to Kara the other day.
Yeah, I mean, we never even went out, but he, like, totally gave me the vibe, was trying to get the digits, the whole thing, and then come to find out, I see, you know, we do the Facebook thing, he's got photos with another woman, but it doesn't say that he's married or single, and long story short, I was like, are you married? Are you married? He was like, yes, I am. I just get a little adventurous when I travel. I said, well, good luck with that.
That's a good thing.
So, yeah.
We wouldn't want you ending up as roadkill there.
Hell
you know?
No,
there
girl.
You go.
That's not a good look for anybody.
Yeah. So that would be geographical poaching, right?
Could you say that again?
Yes. I said that this would be like geographical poaching. Like,
that would be geographical. Seasonal poaching, right. That gets a little more complicated in the sense of, you know, you have to go with the flow. If you don't have the man in your life now and you're looking for one, you don't want to find one 2 weeks before Christmas or New Year's.
Yeah.
That can get all messy. I mean, expectations. He probably has plans and probably you do too. You don't want to give that up. You don't know where it's going. Then you involve family. That can be just a disaster. Ruin a good thing before it even gets a start. So why bother? Wait until spring is everything's in bloom. Everything's robust.
I saw that. Elle, I thought that was so profound how you really talked about the timing and how it kind of mimics, you know, real mating with animals. And,
yeah, like
yeah, but
April
she was like,
1st through September 30th.
Yeah, but she clearly says, and Elle, I totally relate, she's like, stay away from tension days, which are the off season, which are the holidays and the uh-huh. expectations when you're first dating. And Elle, I actually met a guy, which you would call off season, and this is before I read that book of Elle. And yeah, and so we broke up right around Valentine's Day. But that's okay.
There you go.
Yeah, but that makes so we met right before Christmas and we broke up around Valentine's
really?
Day.
Really?
So I was reading this going, girl knows what she's talking about. And
yeah.
then she says you talk about the open season. Tell us a little bit about that and why that was you know, the time frame. What the time frames, you know, set for.
Well, you know, I follow the simple rules of nature. I mean, this shouldn't be really that complicated. Man meets woman from beginning of time, right?
Yeah.
They fall in love, they have a good time. But you do have to look a little bit at, like you said, how nature is. It's first of all, granted, you're in L.A., so you don't wear that many clothes as it is all year round. But over here in the colder states, you know, you want to put your best foot forward. You feel good. Everybody feels better when they can get outside and be active and have the sun shining on them. Your demeanor's better. And it is. It's a time of, you know, excuse the, you know, thing, but rebirth, you know, the flowers are blooming.
Yeah.
And, you know, spring is in the air.
Yeah.
And spring is around the corner.
I think there's something about spring turns a man's fancy kind of going, you know.
Yeah.
Little thing.
Yeah. And
spring, spring chickens.
And they become more attractive in the spring and summer.
Well, she's got a really good point about that. It just, there's not, there, you know, it's people are kind of getting ready for the summer, and it, summer means fun, and it's just kind of, you know, people, it's just something's in the air, right, Elle?
Absolutely, and you don't have to worry about all those high tension days. I mean, those are just a killer on relationships if they're brand new, it's just starting. Just the family alone. I don't know what everybody else's family is like, but mine is not to be dealt with lightly on those days. So
Let me ask you, for people listening, you talked, and we don't have to go give away all your secrets, but this is so fascinating. You talked about two different types of hunting: tag and bag, or tag and bag, and then trophy hunting, which are hysterical. I love the way you write this book. It's so fun.
Yeah.
You know, so would you like to go a little bit into the two different types?
Yeah, there are two different methodologies. And, you know, that's what you use that off season for. And it's also to groom yourself into, you know, look at yourself mentally and whatnot. Where's your life going? Where do you need it to go? And are you ready for a relationship? It's not so much just running through men, the bag and tag. It's more of, are you ready to give what you need to give for a full-blown relationship? But if not, that doesn't mean you should be sitting home on your laurels. Mm. The bag and tag is going to be more of a mini relationship, so to speak, but there's no committed end. There's no, it's an, like an open-ended mutual fund. You know, there's no end in sight. There's no goal. It's just to enjoy the time together. And if you're ready for a more committed relationship, then during the off season, you would change your methodology up a bit to target hunting, where you want to find that buck of your dreams and mount him on the wall of life.
Right.
Oh, well, mounting, yes.
Yes.
That's nice.
Wow. So you said you've been divorced. Are you like on the prowl again, or have you found someone?
Well, I've been raising a child for the last 15 years on my own. I've been divorced for quite some time, and a businesswoman, aside from writing this book. So it's all been bag and tag, but I will let you in on a little secret.
Uh-huh.
This will be the first time in most of my life that I think I'm going to change my methodology to trophy hunting, and I'll be updating my blog as I go through how I go through my actual first-time trophy hunting.
Wow, very
interesting.
That's
going to be exciting.
Yes.
So I do have a question for you, Elle, not to challenge you, because I really love your book, but just because I really want to understand more the mentality. You did talk about not being prey, and I'm an aggressive woman in the sense of, like, I'm self-assured. I'm, you know, I kind of go after what I want. But I found, and this is just my experience, and I'm curious where you are with it, is I've gone from being a huntress, if you will, to, you know what, I'm in a different stage of my life right now where I'm not really being proactive about it, because that's not really where my head is. But I like the idea of being hunted. I like the idea of being with a man who's a leader and who's going to find me, and he's going to seek me out, as opposed to me being completely in control the whole time. What are your thoughts on just the idea of the hunter being the man and not the woman, or is it both? Go for it.
Well, the whole idea of not being prey is not so much of not being wooed. Don't misconstrue that.
Okay.
A woman should always be wooed.
Mm-hmm.
However, you need to put yourself in a sense or a stage of that you have control over your own life,
okay,
not of somebody else's. And that's a serious part of the book. That's the underlying part of the book of, what do I like for my own life? What am I willing to do the work for to get that?
Mm.
And take an active part in it.
Okay.
Not just, you know, sit back and feel sorry for yourself
if
it doesn't happen.
Is that what a lot of your motivation, have you seen, I mean, like, if you were to say some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen your friends make, what would you say, like, the top three have been when it comes to, you know, their struggles?
The main thing that I see is women not really knowing what they really want.
Okay.
They say they do, but if I've questioned some women who've gotten so frustrated and that they've actually gotten up and walked away from me, never
really?
Spoken to me again. I'm their worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know, I question, you know, how much do you really say what you want? And is it what you really want, or is it just what someone's told you you want it?
Right.
Got it.
That's probably the first thing. The second thing is, you know, we tend to, I say we, and I'm generalizing, so I don't want to offend anybody, but we do tend to jump ahead with the expectations or the thought that he can read our mind.
Mm.
Gifts, when I discuss that whole little list and I make the joke about the laminated gift sheet I used to carry around when I was 25, you know, you can't, it's all about communication and honesty.
Yeah.
And need to have that.
Yeah, and it is true. You know, I mean, I find that women do think that men can read their minds sometimes, you know, and it creates a problem. You know, we can't read minds. Yeah, we can't read minds. You gotta let us know what it is that you want, what it is that you need, you know, and you know, some guidance.
Because we're built differently, right?
Yeah.
We're built very differently. So the
Absolutely. We're two different species out there. You need to communicate, and you need to be open to the communication that's coming back.
Right.
And a lot of women, they don't hear what their man or the man that they're with for the moment, for whatever's going on, is saying to them. You know, we like to make up that whole conversation a little differently sometimes, or I have seen with some of my friends.
I would agree.
Do
totally
that.
Do. Yeah, I think I've done that. I think there was a time when I was, you know, really not tuned into what the guy was saying, and I was just kind of, you know, halfway listening and kind of picked up the things I wanted and didn't really pick up on the other stuff. And, you know, you know, you live, you learn. And but I definitely can relate to that, where you're just kind of in rose-colored glasses, and you're just, you've got an agenda, you're trying to push that agenda, and you're going to force whatever he's saying to kind of fit into that, and you never get the results you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's actually a great point. That's a really great point.
Yeah. Now, Elle, I wanted to ask you, what happens if you run into someone and actually meet someone that you like during the off-season? I mean, would you just turn it away?
Well, you don't necessarily have to turn it away, but did you just run into them, or is it someone you can continue to see without actually starting a real romantic situation? And here, you know, I know it's difficult for men and women to be friends, but if you find a common interest, it's a good time to maybe just keep them, you know, at arm's length.
Yeah.
And not engage in a romantic situation. Not become their best buddy and pal where you're their wing girl, because that will totally undermine you when it is time to, you know, maybe look at the romantic side. And as you approach the hunting season, then you can, you know, actually make you, what you've done is you kind of lured them into the kill zone already. Excuse the vulgarity of how it sounds, but
no,
that's
I love it.
You know, on April 1st, you know, pounce away in a responsible way, and then you've already done half your work for you.
Yeah. Well, very interesting.
So I'm not saying turn them away, but you don't have to. You can slowly lead them down a path to when you're ready, because it really should be about when you're ready.
Right.
Got it. I see what you're saying. I think that's really cool. As I was reading your book yesterday, oh, so cute. I mean, not in a condescending. It's just like really fun book, and it's a good easy read too. Like I just found myself just not wanting to put it down. I was thinking you were talking about developing your deer stand, right?
Is it yes.
Deer stand, and basically just finding those common interests or things that you love to do that will put you in the most advantageous place to meet the kind of guy that you're looking for is kind of what I gathered. But I was always sitting there, I was like, I like sporty guys, but I don't like sports. Like, there's a lot of, you know what I mean? There's things I love about a man that I'm attracted to, but I don't freaking like football or hockey or freaking basketball. I don't want to drink a beer and eat a hot dog, maybe a hot dog, but you know what I mean? So I was like, I started toying with that. I was like, and then I'm really into music and I'm really into, you know, acting. I don't really want to date a musician or actor.
Right.
So I was like, maybe I need to jump. Maybe I need to take up a different field of interest. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, listen, sporty guy, do you like the ones who sit and watch the football, or do you like the gentlemen who actually play a sport?
I think it's the guy that play it, or the hot guys that used to play it, but now they're in business and they can't do it anymore. But definitely not the little fat asses that sit back and like beer in their beard. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, then you've answered it for yourself. There you go. You like the hot guys who used to play it but are in business. So where do you go? You look at those men who give back to the community because they had a past sports career and they are in business. You look for those places that they would be. And don't you look like you care about the world, too, now?
Yeah.
I mean, you should.
Oh, you're so funny.
I'm not telling you not to. I mean, I've done that, too, by the way. I went to a UJA, United Jewish Association, banker's dinner. I wasn't Jewish, and I wasn't a banker.
Oh, my gosh. I love you, Al.
Poor choice at that point, because I didn't know what I was talking about, you know.
Right. But at least that's where you want to
there are ways to, yeah, you can combine it. You just got to look out of the box, and I think you already answered it for yourself.
That is so funny. You know, I had a friend. She literally, she was like, Kara, we're going to go to Las Vegas. I was like, cool. I've never done the Vegas girls trip. She's like, yeah, but we're going when there's a firemen's convention. She was serious about it.
Really?
She's like, we're going to go when the firemen's convention is there. That didn't end up happening, but it was the funniest thing that her brain was like, you know, just looking. I think it's kind of interesting that just being so proactive about it, like, in, you know, premeditated.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I always look forward to Fleet Week here over in New York.
What is Fleet Week?
Fleet Week is when the Navy and the United States Marine Corps dock in the docks of New York and let their sailors loose. And I have to tell you, even just for window shopping, it just beats the heck out of walking down Madison Avenue.
Oh, wow.
It's just, and they wear these beautiful white suits so that it's not like you have to look too hard.
Right.
What kind of man are you into? I mean, I read a little bit about it, but what's your ideal kind of, or what you're attracted to?
I'm very partial to the military, ex-military man, I have to say. There's just something about it. I don't know what it is, but it is the way that is. I like my men big.
Yeah.
I mean, big, you know, in stature. In all ways, yes. I like a very rugged man.
I do,
big
too.
Big hands, big, nice, rough hands, you know.
Yeah, like Superman. I'm getting all turned on here now.
I've lived here in the city, and I have to say this, not to turn anyone off, but the business suit type guy doesn't do it for me. I like my men kind of... Yeah, like my deer, really. Out on the land.
Yeah.
That is funny. Yeah, I dated a military guy recently, and it the same thing. And just like, everything's like...
Yeah, you like the uniform.
I just think, I don't know, there's a certain honor about it, but there's also the, I think she's saying, just super masculine, right?
Yeah.
It is. But yet they all still love their mothers in a way, so you know they have some kind of sensitivity going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It helps when they love their mother, of course.
Yeah. I've been watching Officer and a Gentleman too many times, probably, but, you know, we all have our things.
Yeah. That is so funny. Now, a little off topic, but do you watch The Real Housewives of Jersey or New York?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say that I don't own TV.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, good for you. You
shouldn't be. 2010, girl.
Yeah, you shouldn't be embarrassed at all. I have a TV. I never use it. So.
You guys are just so proactive. No, I'm not like a couch potato, but, man, those are some funny shows. But anyway, that's beside the point. I thought maybe you'd have some advice for them because they need it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my advice from what I understand from them, and, again, I'm probably going to upset somebody, is a man can never woo a woman with money, at least not a good woman.
Are you serious? What do you mean?
And if you're looking to be wooed just with money, I gotta say, that may be a whole nother word other than just marriage that you're being called. But, you know, that's just my personal opinion.
Right.
Men with money tend to have a lot of ego.
Yeah.
And I just want to have fun. I don't want to fight for a space in the mirror in the morning.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, yeah. So that gives some hope to men that do not have money. So there you go. You see, it's more than just about money. We're talking to Elle, of course, and the book is Hunting Season, A Field Guide for Targeting and Capturing the Perfect Man. Elle, a very enjoyable book. You've been very, very sweet, I guess, on the phone. And sounds like, yeah.
No, you're so fun, Elle.
Yeah, definitely. And I highly recommend the book, even to men. I enjoyed it. And I think, it teaches men as much as it does women, I think, dating scene and stuff like that. So
absolutely. And you should follow my new method of hunting on the it's womenshuntingseason.com. It should be up and running in 10 days, and I'm going to start to log how I set up my deer stands for trophy hunting, and hopefully, we'll see.
Sounds good.
Well, great.
If I get married, you guys can come on over to New Jersey.
There you go,
yeah,
in the snow and everything.
Best of luck to you, and we'll be definitely keeping up with your progress, and it's an exciting, fun book. So.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
When was the book published? Is it recent?
It's just recent. I believe it's not even 10 days it was released,
really?
End of February. So you'll find it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders, all the major outlets there.
Way to go.
Should be readily available.
Yeah, so these are good times for you, and that's amazing. How long did it take to write the book?
It took about 9 months, but there was a little lag there. I had to go do a little bit more research.
I see. Okay.
Well, that sounds like fun.
And then get back to the keeper.
sounds like a fun research.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, somebody has to do it. So.
Somebody has to do it.
There you go. And Elle decided she's going to do it. Elle, thank you so much again.
Thanks, Elle.
Congratulations on the book. Everybody go get Hunting Season. And
thank you.
Sure. All the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And good luck out there with finding that man there. Okay?
She'll find him. She'll find him.
He'll find me.
Bye-bye,
okay.
Elle.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Funny.
Yeah. Now, yeah, maybe you can take some advice from that book.
I actually saw some cool things in there. I mean, some of the schools of thought I don't agree with, but what I did agree with is she talks about when you do go out, and I've actually found myself doing this instinctually and not knowing why.
Right.
I just have a great group of girlfriends, uh-huh. And honestly, if we could do everything together, they freaking would.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, hang out, eat, work out, go out, blah, 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 blah. And
right.
I've learned that it just, as much as I love them, I can't do everything with friends. I need to be open to meeting new people. But that does translate into meeting, you know, the right guy as
right.
well.
Right.
But I find that you're more approachable and you're just more open.
Right.
And you're not, like, in an insular conversation. So that definitely does help. Because she talks about not going out hunting in posses with
yeah.
girls.
Right.
Because
exactly.
she said if you have a dog, and you throw the dog, like, 5 pieces of meat, he's not just going to eat one of the pieces. He's going to try to eat all.
Exactly.
And she really I thought that was a pretty interesting
yeah.
point. And she talks about, you know, basically, like, the idea that guys are sometimes attracted to the group and mm-hmm. the energy of the group.
Right, exactly.
And the fun excitement of the group. They don't see you as an individual.
Right.
So, and I've actually experienced that. And I run with, I mean, my girlfriends are just so freaking hot. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They need to freaking dirty it up a bit so I
yeah.
can be the shining star.
So,
and they're not planning on gaining weight or putting dirt in their face, so I've got to, you know, cut them loose a couple times. So
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Whatever happened with that wing woman thing? Did you ever do that?
It got canceled because of the weather.
Oh,
it was
really?
Really bad. So I think I'm gonna pick it up here shortly. We'll let
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because I just realized you never said anything about it.
Yeah, it didn't happen. It got canceled. So, but I'm excited about it because I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I mean, basically, I just go out and help them find women.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think if a woman finds out that he actually hired you to do this, I think they're going to throw him out the window.
But if they have a real connection, I mean,
yeah.
come on. If they have a real connection and he's a respectful guy, it's like, hey, you know, everybody needs a little help, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm luring away and going to sell her in a third world country or something and make some money, you know?
Yep. All right. We're going to take a break, and hopefully our guest is here. So we'll be back and for some more fine times. So stay tuned.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted up the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. The shadows, well, they struggled on. Went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away. They had found.
lines are open on Sam and Karen in the morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, our guest is going to be here any minute.
Awesome.
And so you found Elle on the internet there.
I did. She's a cute woman.
Yeah.
She's
a lot of fun, you know?
I like people that have a sense of humor about things,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely, definitely.
I think it's important, you know, to have those.
And it's always fun talking about dating and stuff, you know?
And,
I like that.
You know,
that.
It's interesting, but what I think is, I don't know, I find so many people that are that are couples or married that are, like, really, like, interested in knowing about my dating life and what's going on, mm-hmm, because it's like they live vicariously through it.
Right.
And it's kind of like, it's fun, but at the same time, it's kind of like, why isn't it as fun where you are?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Well, it's not necessarily that. It's just that, look, when you're married, you don't have as much excitement in your life as you do when you're single. And I mean, not in every way. But as far as obviously dating and stuff, people probably miss it sometimes, or they're just curious as to what's going on the other
side.
Well,
and I understand that, but it almost adds a sense of, like, it's an interesting kind of, like, I don't know, like, I feel like people are like, so what's going on with dating? And I feel like I'm supposed to have some fun, amazing story to tell people, because it's like this, that's when you live it up, and that's mm-hmm. when life is going great. And
right.
it's like, you know, life is great in a lot of other ways, and I love dating, but I've also seen where it can or cannot go, and mm-hmm. everything's got its limitations. So
right.
it's kind of like, okay, it is what it is, and it's fun. I think what it boils down to as I'm talking, I think it's about being desired. I think desiring is the fun part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
desiring
definitely.
And being desired, and I think that's the fun part. But when people get to the nitty gritty of, like, the life part, and like, he didn't call me back on time. What the F? He fell asleep and was supposed to pick me up an hour ago. And he's
right.
mad at me that I'm mad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's not the fun
I
part.
I know, and what I've read, that people that are single tend to think, or let's put it this way, people tend to think that singles have more sex than married people, but they found out that it's the opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, you know my views on sex. I'm not trying to, you know, tag and bag it, you know, as Elle would put it.
You're looking for a trophy.
Yeah, I definitely want somebody that can, you know, be, you know.
All things.
I want everything.
All
I want it
you
all.
Want
yeah. Because
that's
for
high
me.
High expectations, though.
Yeah. And for me, like, I mean, sex is bonding, mm-hmm. and I want to have children. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. what I want right now, but to be really honest, sex, thinking about having kids turns me on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just, I don't need to be doing it with people
yeah.
unless it's like they're the one, because it turns me on and I want to do it and I want to have kids.
Yeah.
I don't, it's my body's like wants to pump out a child. It
really?
Does. Yeah.
You can feel it, huh?
I can feel it. My body's like, especially when I have my periods, I'm like, oh. I'm like, I do feel like an animal that's like, oh. I just feel like, you know, my friend, she had a baby, and she's like, man, after you have a kid, she's like, your menstruation, everything is just so much more light and just not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
I think it's because, like, your body's waiting to use those organs for what they are intended for,
right.
and then I mean that just could be, you know, one of the reasons.
Right.
But I'm not in a rush, because, you know, I don't really want that in my life right now, and the responsibility. Mm-hmm. But biologically, so yeah.
Right.
So my point is,
I mean, do you ever get, like, really horny and stuff, and you don't know what to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah,
but I try to. I mean, I'm learning and trying to take care of it mentally. What
mm-hmm.
I mean by that is, like, you know, sex is, a lot of it is psychological too, first,
mm-hmm.
you know, before you're all, like, totally hot and bothered down there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's what you're feeding your brain, you know?
Yeah.
So
is
I try
Sheena
to kind
here?
Of, yeah, I think Sheena's
yeah.
here.
Sheena, welcome. Welcome.
Hi.
Sheena made it.
Yay.
And we have, well, we might as well introduce who our guest is. We have Sheena Middle, who is, who's got about a million shows on the station, and but she loves radio. You can't argue with that. Good
I
morning,
sure do.
Sheena.
My mom said to me the day I told her I was tired, she's like, no more radio.
Yeah, no more radio. It's
you
would funny,
have thought I was
man.
Digging ditches the way she was acting.
Yeah.
You're going to kill yourself.
Aww.
So how are you doing this morning,
I'm good.
Sheena?
How are you?
Yeah, we're real good. Real good. And so Sheena has the main show is a daily show called The Sheena Middle Experience.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about the show.
You know, I call it the human sideshow. We kind of run the gambit of everything interesting about human beings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I hope.
Yeah.
A little politics, a little bit, little relationships, little sex.
Uh-huh.
Lots of entertainment.
A lot of entertainment. And you always get great guests and stuff, too.
Yeah, I've been really lucky.
Yeah. Well, this is cool. You got to listen to a show sometime.
Yeah, I will.
I got to come be on my show.
Oh, girl, I will.
Yeah, that's true.
Book me. Book me, baby.
Yeah. And now you started a new show called Haunted Playground.
I did.
Right?
Beginning of the month.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, the show is very successful, in case you don't know.
Oh, good. I didn't know.
Yeah, no.
What is it called? It's called
Haunted Playground.
Wow.
So it's basically everything you can imagine that's paranormal.
Oh, interesting.
Mostly ghosts and ghost hunting, because I've been so successful, as Sam can tell you, at getting people from the Discovery Channel and History Channel, all the ghost hunting shows, because I love those shows.
Oh, my really? Gosh.
That it was really kind of starting to fill up the sheet of metal experience. Uh-huh. It was becoming like, you know, 4 or 5 hours a week of paranormal. So I thought, I got to do my own paranormal show.
Yeah.
And move them all there, because they all wanted to come back, and I'm like, this can't become like the Sheena Metal Ghost Experience.
That's funny.
But some other paranormal too, like we did a thing on Mothman. We're gonna do a Bigfoot thing next week. And
really?
So a little bit of everything.
I gotta tune in. I watched Mothman.
It's awesome. The Mothman are terrifying.
Oh my gosh, there's more than one. I thought it was
oh no.
A movie and
oh, no.
One dude.
There's a whole bunch.
Really?
Throughout history.
What are they? I never heard of them.
They're kind of like an interdimensional Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched.
Yeah.
They snoop on us, and uh-huh. then they show up, and then they tell you things are going to happen, like, bridge will fall in 2 weeks, and they kind of come and bug you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like that one lady that's like, you know what? That's going to break. That's going to break. That bridge is going to break. That bridge is going to break. They're like an interdimensional nuisance.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound... Yeah, based on what I saw the movie.
You saw the Richard Gere movie.
Yeah, and it was a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I thought it brought a lot of interesting. My spirituality and what I look at is different than most of the pop culture of it all. But it actually, I thought, brought to light a lot of things I believed in a way that was interesting. That it did not seem to be a fruitful nor helpful nor positive. Spirit or whatever.
That's what I always say about them.
Yeah, it seems to be something that almost can consume and possess somebody in their, at least their mind or their thought or their focus. And it didn't seem to be something that it just basically could drive you crazy, right?
You know what? I kind of think they're like, you know how you get the laser light and then you run it, you make your cat jump.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Look, kitty, look how funny.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like that with us.
Yeah.
So you think they play around?
They think
with
it's funny.
Us,
huh? Like they know that the bridge is gonna pop and kill 50 people, and we don't know that. And then they give us weird little clues to see if we're gonna figure it out. Kitty, can you find the cheese? I mean, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're just like, I gotta save him. The bridge falls, and not everybody lives, and that's just the reality.
Right, and the reality is things like that are always going to happen,
always.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. So you believe in this stuff, right?
Yeah, I believe in pretty much everything.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not crazy about it. Like, I don't get up in the morning and say, Mothman, please tell me which pair of shorts to put on.
Yeah.
But
I
don't discount any of it. Yeah,
yeah, you get into it a lot and stuff.
I think there's more
things that happen on Earth. So you watch all these shows and stuff, huh?
I love the shows.
Really?
From the time I was little, I loved ghost shows. And then when I was in junior high, my parents moved into a haunted house that was really bad haunted.
Really?
So I think I started watching them kind of as therapy, so I thought I wasn't crazy.
What did you experience? I mean, what was the first sign that this thing's haunted? I mean, obviously there wasn't a sign for sale, haunted house. It was...
No, the first sign was that happened even before I knew what was happening was that when I was out of my room, all kinds of things were banging and slamming around, and my mom thought it was the kid next door, because we lived in tract homes where his bedroom and my bedroom were probably 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
And then one day she asked his mom, you know, what does he do up there? Mm. She's like, oh, he's been away at school for a year. But
okay.
She never told me that. Then when I was in college, you know, there was the sitting on the bed and the all that weird kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it kind of spread throughout the house. So lots,
yeah.
Like sometimes you'll walk in my mom's, house and at that time and just a can of food would fly out of the cabinet, just fly across the
room.
Are
you serious?
Yes, it was a crazy haunted house.
Really?
As a matter of fact, I've been guest now on other paranormal shows.
Yeah.
That a lot of people, like a lot of the TV ghost hunters have their own shows, and I've been guests on their shows, and I always ask, was this a haunted house? And they're always like, oh my God, yes. So.
Wow.
Interesting. That's so interesting. Wow.
I mean, didn't you freak out? I mean, what?
Oh, God,
what,
yeah. I thought I was completely crazy. I was 19 years old, and, you know, my bed's going up and down, and I thought I needed to go see a shrink. I mean, I think that's pretty, I think it was what everybody thinks when that happens.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then it started happening. It's funny because I produced a paranormal documentary last year. It just came out in December. And we showed it to my dad at Christmas, and he's always like, Mr., you know, if it's not in a science book, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And he actually saw it, and he liked the fact that they're doing so much ghost hunting now with electronic equipment, and that kind of rang home to him.
Yeah, I was like,
because it became science. Mm. So now that you have gear, now suddenly it's legitimate. Mm-hmm. And he actually admitted on Christmas Day to seeing stuff in that house.
Okay.
Really?
Well, let me ask you, I mean, from somebody that's not invested or it's not really my field of interest, but that's, you know, scan the TV or whatever and I've seen it. Just, you know, from a casual observer, I just am like, this shit's staged. You know,
I'm sure there's shit staged everywhere.
I mean, there's no way. I mean, I have a hard time. Not that I don't believe that there's stuff out there, because I do believe in spiritual activity. But I mean, as far as seeing it on TV and taking it credible and the gear and the beep, 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 something's going off. We got something going on here. I'm like, how do you trust that on television other than entertainment?
All I can tell you is that from what I've learned this last year from having these people on the Sheet of Metal Experience, within the paranormal community, if anybody ever found out you staged something, whether you're on TV or not, that would be the end of you in the community.
Really? And has it happened?
I'm sure. But I don't...
Really? Okay.
With the TV shows, I mean, no one's going to admit to it because there's networks involved.
Yeah. Right.
But the thing is, if you don't... Those guys and girls are all about proof, 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 because their goal as a community is to prove it exists so that it becomes a science.
Right. Oh, so interesting. They have an agenda to make it...
Right. If somebody finds out they fake stuff, then it sets the community back.
Oh, okay.
And they don't want that.
I didn't realize there was so much investment in trying to prove... I just didn't understand the value of,
That's, it's their whole thing. I mean,
interesting.
In a way, it's a science.
Yeah.
It's not a legitimate science yet, but for them, it's a science.
It's a science. So they look at it like, this is our research, our work, we're really trying to bring awareness and educate people, and it loses credibility.
And they spend thousands and thousands of dollars inventing gear that works better so they can see more stuff.
Oh,
I mean, it used to just be somebody would walk around, because you know what EMF is? It's an electromagnetic field.
Right.
And a lot of paranormal activity has now been debunked because when electromagnetic field readings get high, have you ever wondered why sometimes when you're in your laundry, doing your laundry in the basement, you feel like somebody's looking at you?
Uh-huh.
It's because dryers throw off high EMF.
Mm.
And when EMF is high, it can make you feel paranoid. It can make you feel sick.
So a lot of times people
think their house is haunted, and really it's just wired poorly.
That's funny.
It's just bad.
Just get the pipes looked at. Just, rewire
it. It's unhealthy electronically, and they can fix that. So the good thing about science is it debunks a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of times they'll go places and say, oh, it's haunted. And then they go in there and they say, well, here's what we think's going on. The banging on the pipes is bad plumbing. This is because you've got too much EMF and you need to get an electrician in here.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is probably that sometimes dogs just chase their tail.
Right.
That is freaking
even when they're not possessed.
Funny.
So it's kind of, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, but it's interesting in humanity how there's things that can kind of turn you off, and everybody's looking for the eternal. They're looking for something that's not here.
Well, we're conditioned to think spooky things live in the basement.
Right. Exactly. I mean, these are all like tales and stuff like that. But, I mean, if I didn't know you, I wouldn't believe you. But the thing is,
there you go, Gina.
I don't believe in this shit,
Yeah.
But,
okay.
You said you experienced it. You weren't really that young to be making it up.
Right.
If you've experienced like an exorcist type of experience... who am I to argue with that,
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I was possessed by a demon.
No,
I think
the bed, rising and things flying across the room.
I think when we die, we become energy, those of us that are stuck here. And I think that you can manipulate a certain amount of the three-dimensional world with energy, but only a certain amount. You could throw a can of corn, but you can't pull the house into hell. It's a little annoying and nuisancey things that I think.
Right. Mm. But I find a contradiction when people talk about, I don't remember. But, when spiritual thing, okay? Spiritual is by definition not material things. So how can spiritual forces affect what we have in the physical world? That's what I can never reconcile.
Well,
in my
I can
head,
do. Let's go back to sex.
Yes.
Let's go back to sex.
I know you two have been off sex for like 10 minutes now.
Oh, my girl, that's just all we do.
I guess you need to get back. I'm in.
No, come on in, Sheena. Jump in. We're going to have a good time. No, but sexually, a lot of arousal starts in your brain, in your mind. It's right. What you meditate on, which is the unseen thing. So you have a thought or a fantasy or something, and then it sparks stuff in your brain, it sparks stuff in your body, and now you have a physical reaction in your body. I mean, you know, let's be honest. I mean, men can think of something, get a boner. Girls can, you know, think about something or create a situation in their brain and get, you know, wet. Mm-hmm. And that all came not because anybody touched you. You didn't even touch yourself. Your just body is reacting to what you've now meditated on. That you've
okay,
put
but
in your
that's
brain.
A body, you know. I mean, how do the spirits affect a bed? You know,
you're,
I mean,
but I'm just saying you're taking something unseen, mm-hmm. something that is intangible, that is invisible, mm-hmm. and has now physically affected your body. Now that's something that you've done within your own self, not that was done to you. But I still think that there are cause and effects to the spiritual world around us. That it, not necessarily that are us, but I do believe in the spiritual realm, and that we don't physically see it. But yet, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I mean, right. Everything is made up of energy, right? The table's made up of energy.
Yeah,
Everything's made up of energy. We know that's science. And, you know, and what's also interesting is that they're finding nanotechnology, which is such a broad term for what I'm trying to say, is that sound waves, they never end. They just become smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. But they exist, mm-hmm. like, for years and eons, like, and sound. I mean, so it's really interesting looking at spirituality kind of connected to energy. And I do believe that.
I think energy is the connection between spirituality and science.
That's actually someday really
we'll evolve enough that we'll understand that religion and science are two sides of the same coin.
We're
not there yet. Our little pea brains are not ready to go there yet.
And I have a Christian background, and that I have that my spirituality is in the Christian faith. And I do say spirituality because it's not about religion, but so much, you know, the spirit of Christianity. And there's really a lot of semantics going on that, you know, if I were to point it out in biblical terms, it would turn somebody off because they're not buying it. They're not seeing it, the Bible. But so much of what I'm saying and see is so connected to what you are saying.
Oh, my
actually.
God. If you read the Bible cover to cover, I mean, both Testaments, mm-hmm. you're going to find every paranormal thing in the world in there.
Absolutely. And honestly, I mean, I do believe in demonic activity, demonic spirits.
Sure.
And I believe in good and evil. I don't believe that there's just good and everything else is just confused.
What is it about you and me, Sam? Every time I come on the show, it all breaks down to good and evil.
Really?
Does it?
Last time we were here,
I don't even remember.
We talked about good and evil. Last time, and we realized we're both going to hell.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But I believe so. I've had some interesting paranormal activity happen in my life, and the way I attributed it to is that there's demonic forces, and not to make it sound all Jedi like Star Wars, but there is just stuff out there that is to intimidate you, to instill fear, that is to confuse you, is to maybe just get you off track. And I think ultimately God wants a relationship with us, and anything that can deviate us from that, whether that's you're too busy, you're too afraid, you're too self-absorbed, or it could be even just the fact that there's other activity spiritually out there, mm-hmm. that's drawing us in a direction that makes us think we're going to have ultimate answers instead of taking us back to having a relationship with God. That's my opinion, and that's been my experience too, you know. And mm-hmm. it can be obsessive, it can be possessing, not necessarily in your body, but your brain and your mind. And it at the end of the day, is it bearing fruit? Are there good things coming out of this? And that's kind of something when I looked at the Mothman that came with answers, quote unquote, and he wasn't lying. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth.
No.
He was telling the truth.
He was just kind of doing a little rat experiment.
Exactly.
On the people.
Yeah, I like the cheese thing. But it at the end of the day, it wasn't serving anybody. It really wasn't serving people.
No.
And it just screwed with the brain.
Right.
That's why I don't like them.
Yeah.
I think there's enough nuisances in the world.
They're like bugs, yeah.
Interdimensional things coming and messing with us. We can't even get out of our own way.
Yeah. Exactly,
we don't need something kind of picking at us.
Yeah.
But I think most spirits are not demonic. I think that on TV, they like you to think they all are because it's good TV.
Right.
But I think most spirit activity are probably spirits that for one reason or another, they can't find out where they need to go. Mm. They're stuck and they're either in their own way and they won't go for some reason, or they're confused, or, you know, they're stuck to the earth because they're not ready to move on. They don't have closure. They... they did something bad and they're scared they're going to be judged for whatever reason. You know, they're stuck in the hallway and they won't go through the door. Mm. And I don't think they're bad. I think that they're some probably if you were a bad person on Earth, I'm sure you're an unpleasant spirit. But a lot of times I don't think that they're demons. I think they're just stuck.
Yeah. But I mean, so you're convinced that spirits can intervene in the physical world?
You mean like show themselves
or like affect things, you know? That's what I'm saying.
You know, I think they can move things a little bit. I think they can bang a door. Mm. You know, I think they can.
See, I think if it was true, then it would happen so much more. You know, that it wouldn't be paranormal anymore. It would be normal. You
well,
know?
And someday it may be. I mean, someday they may invent a camera that can, and suddenly we'll see them all. I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, all the things that we have developed and all of the new technology that they can now, you're seeing a lot more stuff on camera. A lot of the digital technology and the digital audio, you're hearing a lot more stuff.
Right.
And as I said, I think that, and then there's also residual energy, which is not... It's just, for some reason, some places thick with energy. Like, I spent the weekend on the Queen Mary, and I can tell you that place is thick with energy. But look at how many thousands of people were on that boat over the 60-year period.
Right.
And then, since it's been docked as a hotel, have been on that boat.
Mm.
And it's not that that's an active energy that's going to come up and poke you in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But you can feel it. Like, you know, battlegrounds or places like that. War sites. I mean, there's just a lot of energy from what happened there. It doesn't mean that it's... You know, a soldier is going to come out and stick you with a spiritual bayonet. It just means that some places are just very latent with energy.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, but the amazing thing is you know, I mean, police departments use psychics and things like that
more
all
and
the
more.
Time, you know?
Yeah.
So there's got to be something to it. I mean, you can't imagine that the police would mess around with something that didn't work, you know?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't totally trust their credibility that much. I mean, not that I'm just saying they're fallible is what
right.
I'm saying. You know, they're not. They're
well, obviously, but I don't think, you know, being in the public eye and everything, I don't think that law enforcement agencies would use psychics if there wasn't something to it.
Well, can you say that they've always had successful results? No, but had they had successful
results?
Yeah,
if they
results?
Have some, then that's good enough, don't you think?
And that may be an ability that we all have and we just most of us don't know how to use it right now.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, maybe we all have the ability to do a lot of superhuman things. We just don't know how to tap into it, and then occasionally you can. And a lot of psychic ability comes out of trauma. People are sick or they're in an accident and they pick it up afterwards.
Right.
So one part of your brain closes and another part of your brain opens. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand it, but I think we all have it. I just think we don't know how to use it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Well, what can I say?
I don't know.
You know? Maybe Sheena knows something we don't.
I don't know, Sheena.
You know, I don't profess to be right. I just know, you know, what I think is probably true. And it's just based on averages, you know. If you see enough things, there's probably some truth to it.
Right.
And I think that so many of us in the world, I mean, there are very few of us that don't believe in anything spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Almost everybody has some kind of spiritual belief. And that's all blind faith, too. I mean, we don't know. We know in our hearts.
We believe, right.
But we don't have proof. You know, there's not... souvenir photos of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
We just know what we believe.
There's evidence. So it's not completely blind, but there's evidence. But at the same time, you don't have it physically in front of your face making you go, this is what is going to happen, and you must believe. You go off of what you've seen and evidence, but you also go off of what's in your heart. And there is. I mean, it's just faith. That's why I with my faith, it's like I love to discuss it. I love to share and inspire or to be open and learn. But at the end of the day, I know that, you know, it boils down to a really intimate relationship with God that you can't really argue. Mm-hmm. That person has to have that personal experience with God on their own. They're in their own way to really understand, and that will either happen or not happen. And you know, so it's one of those things. Like, it gets to a point where I'll go to a point with it, and then I go, you know what? That you can't really argue faith. Mm. You know what I mean?
Obviously, because it's not it's not something that's been proven. It is about faith and belief. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so by definition.
But there's a lot of things haven't been proven. We still talk about. Most of science hasn't been proven. They're theories, which means there's evidence to support it. There's suggestion. There's patterns, but it's not necessarily proof.
Right.
It's not. Proof. A lot of it isn't.
Right.
People don't understand that sometimes.
Yeah, but in the physical world, you know, things are empirical. I mean, you can actually experience them. And, you know, whereas faith, faith is based on belief, you know, and blind faith, you know.
Well, what I say with that is that yes and no. I mean, there's blind can suggest that it's completely, there's no reason, there's no intellect involved, there's no evidence, that there's no, you just turned your brain off and you just took a jump. I don't always think it's like that. I think that they're coupled together.
Right.
And it's like the supernatural with the natural. It's like you're saying, which is kind of what we're talking about. It's like a lot of prayers are like, God, I'm going to do what I can in the natural and ask that you do what I can in the supernatural. Like you're asking the Lord to act on your behalf in ways that are beyond your capability, you know? Mm. So there's definitely like a, you know, you're not asked to be a robot and just turn your brain off either, you know?
Right,
God
right.
gave you a brain, so.
Yeah. Sheena, are you like religious or more like spiritual? I mean,
more spiritual, I would think.
More spiritual.
But very eclectic, you know?
Yeah.
Lots of everything. And I, you know, most people, oddly enough, is that most people I've met in the paranormal community, I thought they were all going to be like Wiccans. Mm. You know, they're really not. They're very spiritually based. I think it can all kind of exist together. So.
Yeah.
I just kind of pick what I like out of spirituality, and I think everyone's religion is right.
Right.
I just think we all look at it from different ways, but I think there's definitely, you know, one higher power, and I have no problem calling that higher power God. I don't have a problem with that. And I think that there's one God, and it's all the same thing. I don't think there's your God and my God and his God. That's just creepy.
Right, right. So you don't subscribe to just one school of thought. You're more like spiritual, which
I really don't.
Most people are like that. You know, I think people have had enough of religion rammed down the throats and stuff, and they choose to discover it themselves, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that. So now your co-host, Danielle, she's a psychic, right?
She is.
Or at least she says she is.
Yeah.
I mean,
she better be or I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, I mean, what are some of your experiences of seeing like psychic ability with Danielle?
Well, you know, my mother is psychic, so I grew up around that. And my mom is crazy psychic. But, you know, from a generation where she didn't really tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 76. My folks were old when they had me, so my parents aren't baby boomers. They're Depression era. And, you know, you didn't tell anybody, hey, I'm psychic. It's 1935, and guess what? I'm a psychic. And then you're in an institution or someone's lynched you.
Yeah.
So I grew up with her, you know, knowing when the phone was going to ring, knowing when my grandmother died, I mean, all that kind of stuff. And very nonchalant about it. It wasn't like she sat around with a turban, you know, predicting things for a dollar.
Right.
And she doesn't work as a psychic. And actually, how Danielle started working as a psychic was that she and my mom were having a conversation about how psychic they were. And she said to my mom, you should go get a job as a psychic. And my mom said, well, why don't you go get a job as a psychic? And she did.
Yeah.
So, and now my mom still has yet to ever do that. So, I mean, I see her on a daily basis do things that creep me out.
Really?
I mean, it's pretty creepy. And her whole family is like that. I mean, there's her cousins are like that. I mean, they're kind of, very many of them in that family are like that.
Really?
And, you know, so, I mean, are there psychics that, you know, do I think if you can throw tarot cards, you're psychic? Well, not necessarily. That's more like if you can do an astrological chart, are you psychic? Well, you know, not really.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I'm not psychic, because if things were coming around talking to me and I was seeing dead things all the time, I'd be freaked out completely.
Yeah.
what kind of psychic are we talking? I mean, I don't know that much about it, but like clairvoyance, there's predicting the future, there's...
You know, she's a little mix of everything. Clearly, she can do mediumship work, but it's not really her forte. Clairvoyance mostly, I would say, is kind of her thing. But the film that I just produced is about a haunted house. Friends of ours, who are on the same record label that she's on, that I work for, bought a bed and breakfast as like a day job because they had a kid and they're like, well, now we need to get a real job and not just be musicians. And they bought this house, and it, you know, really was like the scary dilapidated house that no one ever owned, that was all run down and torn down. So they got it a steal, and Eric knew a lot about construction, and he thought he would fix it up, and then it would be beautiful, and they would use it as a bed and breakfast. They'd also live there.
Right.
And it just, you know, one thing after another, and it was just the house from hell. And then they...
you get rid of it, or this
everything bad? No, it's gone now. So it's now deserted and in its natural state again. And you know, they gave it a good run, but it was like everything. It was the house was just cursed. They couldn't get permits. It wasn't just extra sensory stuff. It was even almost real world stuff. There's something about this house that I don't want to be owned.
I think all of it is so metaphorical for. Like in the Bible, when God talks about your home, it's usually metaphorical for your heart.
Mm.
And to put your home in order is to put your heart in order. And making room is to make room for God. And so it's so interesting to hear what you're saying, because that's just the way I'm translating it for me and what I believe. And And it is interesting when people, like I don't want to be sold, I want to be owned, I want to be cleaned up, I don't want to be put in order. It's a very interesting, maybe physical example of spirituality within people.
Well, then it must happen. This house, first of all, why am I coughing? 60,000 Native Americans died on the land during either a malaria outbreak or a typhoid outbreak. It's if you know anything about the paranormal community, it has every bad paranormal thing. It was a brothel. It was a illegal abortion clinic. It was the guy that owned it before them boarded up the windows and wouldn't let his family out. It was. Water is a paranormal conductor. Mm-hmm. It has a running stream in the basement where when they built it, the mm-hmm. foundation, I don't know if it cracked the foundation and the water came through, but there is an offshoot of the stream behind the house and it bubbles up into the basement. You mm-hmm. can see it running in the basement.
Really?
It's just, I mean, I don't know why the hell they ever bought it. Maybe that's their spiritual lesson in cleaning up their act.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't buy a house with an open stream in the basement. And I wouldn't buy a house that said, you know, everybody in the town said, don't buy that house. I mean, you know, listen to people.
Yeah. That's so interesting, though.
Yeah.
Wow. So how long? So they were there for what? Until they... It sounds very Amityville, you know?
They had the house, I think, just about a year when we did the movie. So they were not there very long.
Yeah.
Wow. So interesting.
Very interesting. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Above and beyond, above and beyond, above and beyond.
Shitty Talk Radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Yes. We're the superheroes of the world.
So cool. I want to be able to fly. I want to be able to see people naked without them knowing. Not really. Did you guys hear about that? The X-ray machine at the, or like the airport.
Yeah.
I'm not digging that. Are you guys digging that?
Oh, God. You know what? I hope everyone who sees me naked passes out. They deserve it.
You
want to see me naked? They're going to be like, we need way more than minimum wage for this.
No. It pissed me off. I was like, no. I mean, I get it. You know, bombs suck and all that stuff. And I'm not happy with that. But no, you're not going to get to see, you know, how I smack it up, flip it, rub it down, and get it in my damn clothes. You're not going to get to see the secrets.
I think they
you're not going to have a choice if they put it in place.
No,
you know?
You know what? It's government for the people, by the people. So, yeah, we do have a choice, and we can work that out.
I think mostly they want to know if you've got, like, a pile of C4 in your ass or...
Still, I don't care. I don't like
marijuana tampon.
Those people are freaking weird anyway. No, all of them. But a lot of the people that they hire that get to do the airport patch it down and stuff.
Yeah, creepy.
It's not that. It's just, you know, they're halfway doing it. They're halfway into it. And it's almost like, you know, they're just kind of...
They enjoy taking your Christmas jelly. No, they do. I think they really get a rush out of telling you, oh, it's going to only be 3 ounces, and this is 3.01 ounces.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna take your Christmas jam.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, we're all human. I get it. But it's like Jessica Simpson was at the airport, and, you know, the whole controversy about, oh, my God, she gained 5 pounds, that whole thing. She was in an interview saying, yeah, because the media is brainwashing people to think that she's this, you know, she's, like, so overweight or something. And so she goes... And she gets pat down by the airport dude, and he's like, you're not that big.
Not by a dude. There's
or
no
a girl.
Way.
A girl. Yeah. She's like, you're not that big.
Uh-huh.
She says, you're not that big, really. Like, she shouldn't even be saying anything.
No, that's
You know
true.
What I mean? But just the fact that people were, you know, not this about Jessica Simpson, but just the whole idea that people are allowed to have a vocal opinion about it. Well, you do
and take my Christmas jelly.
And take your damn Christmas jelly and see us freaking naked.
Like, I don't understand. I don't get the whole, like, you can have this, but you can't have this. To me, it's just like a weird power thing.
Yeah.
They you know, I'm bringing back stuff, and of course you can't put anything in your suitcase because they treat your suitcases so badly now, everything breaks. Yeah. So I'm trying to take stuff home for my folks at Christmas, and they confiscated my, you know, special homemade caramel that both my parents would have died from. They would have just floated up to heaven.
Do you make homemade caramel?
No, somebody else did.
Uh-huh.
And so I was bringing it home to my parents because, you know, old people like sweet things. They're like little kids. But then I had some peach preserve, and they're like, oh, well, this is food because it has a peach in it. And I'm thinking, you know, I could put dynamite in a peach just as easy as I could put it in caramel.
Yeah.
I could hold up a plane with a peach.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. And what are we scared of? Who exactly is terrorizing us? I'm a little confused.
Everybody,
well, I've never met them, but they're out there.
Yeah.
Watch out. They're
there's
get
a
you,
lot
Gina.
Of people that don't like us, you know, that want us to think
but
in their
they've
way.
They've never liked us.
What's that?
They've never liked us.
No, that's
true. Yeah.
But now they're starting to bomb or, you know, drive planes.
Yeah, they'll stop at nothing. Uh-huh. You know?
Do you guys want some of my orange?
Nothing.
Some of your orange. It smells and looks excellent.
You want some here?
No,
it.
Not right now. No,
okay,
it's going to make my hands sticky.
California,
I don't like
freshness.
Sticky,
yeah. And then somebody will come in here and, Sam, I have an emergency. My fingers are stuck to the board.
Yeah.
Some,
that can happen.
You know, radio host. Yeah, come in here and that'd be the end of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Sheena, you're involved in music as well.
Uh-huh.
You have a music show. Tell us a little bit about that.
I do Music Highway. Huh? It's on every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. And it's advice for musicians, you know, topic talk for musicians, and then also we do a playlist of 10 songs every show.
Right.
And then at the end of the year, we do a big New Year's show, and we play the top 10.
Nice, nice.
Most requested.
Now, where do you find all these songs?
Oh, God. You know, I get
people
hundreds
find you.
Of emails every day with them, and I see the little paperclip, and I think, oh, it's an attachment. It must be a song from someone.
Yeah.
I've worked in the music business for, let me think, over 15 years.
Really? And you also, like, manage bands and stuff, right?
Yeah,
you
have
in the past.
I have in the past.
Right.
You know, it always depends on how much, you know, I'm doing a lot of something, then I do less of something else. I'm doing a lot of radio right now. I'm doing less of everything else.
You seem to be doing a lot. You're a pretty busy person.
I like to stay busy because what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, get in trouble and, like, stalk people or something.
Which I think is so interesting.
Keep my brain busy.
Yeah. What do you guys think of stalkers?
What do we think of them?
The reason I ask is
you have a stalker.
I don't, but I got to be honest. I'll be really honest. You go jogging by a construction site. All the dudes fresh off the boat from Mexico or wherever. And, you know, they look at you like they've never seen a woman ever.
Right.
Ever. Right.
Well, they've never seen a blonde woman.
Yeah, you know, they've never seen a blonde woman. Whatever. Either way. And, it's like, and I've worked in a lot of restaurants. It's the same thing. It's like, ha, 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 ha.
Right.
Ha,
yeah. It's
salivating.
A blonde,
ha, 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 ha.
Yeah,
yes, but it's like, but it's a little, it's creepy, right? But I'm going to be honest. Even when I get a little, like, hooting and hollering by guys I would never be interested in, I still feel, like, a little hot, you know?
You should.
I always feel like...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's like my friend, you know, he's not gay, but a guy commented on his ass, and he said even though, you know, he's not interested, it made him feel a little good.
Oh, yeah. So same thing, like compliments.
Yeah, same thing with a stalker. I mean, it's creepy. But I would still feel a little special. I'm not going to lie. That's where I've got. I mean, it's wrong. It's
You'd
wrong.
Feel privileged.
I'd feel like, oh my gosh, stop stalking me. You're so freaking creepy.
Yeah. Well, by your own admission, you like attention. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean,
and they bring presents.
Yeah.
Well, they do.
Stalkers bring good gifts.
Gosh, like what?
Oh, God. I mean, everything you can imagine under the sun. What do you want? I mean, they find out just gifts. What you want and bring it.
Really?
I've gotten some really great presents from
Have
stalkers.
You had a stalker?
Oh, I've had so many stalkers.
Girl, tell me!
On the radio, I've had so many stalkers.
Oh, my gosh, Sheena, what's
are
going on?
Are you kidding?
What's happened? Are they good kissing?
Okay, here's my scariest stalker story. I mean, I don't know if this is scary or not, but... This radio fan who I always, you know, there was always something kind of a little weird about him. Like, I don't mind if people call me up and say, oh, my God, you know, I just want to penetrate every orifice with everything I have. All right, that's kind of pervy. But it's the ones that are like, madam, I would like to ride up on my steed and put my coat down so you don't have to touch the ground. Those are the ones that are going to kill you with a knife.
Really?
And this guy was one of those. And in the beginning, he was cool. But then it would be like we did a St. Patrick's Day show and we're talking about your drunk stories. And he would say, and I don't even drink, and he would say, you know, I don't like to hear you doing topics like this because you're a lady, and I'm worried that other people who don't know you will listen and think you're not a lady. And I'm
See,
thinking,
he's taking it for
creepy,
being like, I want to freaking
creepy.
Kill you and do your body part
right.
bits.
Creepy. He did give me some good gifts before this. So right. I started getting very nervous, and I was headlining a show that I had done for years at one of the big three comedy clubs. And
oh, did you stand up?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and every single week, he was the first one behind the rope, the first one behind the rope,
really?
Always behind the rope. And so I always kept the distance because there was something just a little weird about him.
Right.
So one night at the end of the night when we say goodbye to all our fans after all the handshaking and hugging, and then it's just the employees and us, and I always felt kind of better, and I'd wait a little while till everybody went home before I got my car, he didn't leave.
Yeah.
And I said, uh-oh, it's the time of the night when I have to get everybody out. And he's like, oh, I work here now.
Oh, God.
No, you don't.
And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I called the owner, and I'm like, hello? And he's like, well, he told me he was your ex-boyfriend. And I'm thinking, okay, first of all, could you have asked me? Secondly, why are you hiring my exes?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, well, every week he was the first one behind the rope, so I just thought he was one of your best friends. So first of all, my friends don't have to go behind the rope. They come in. Secondly, wasn't the fact he was there every week and always first indicative that he was a stalker?
Yeah, and we don't support...
My friends miss shows.
Yeah, my friends miss shows. Like, oh, girl, get you a drink.
My friends blow me off to get laid.
Yeah. No,
only
I'm hearing...
Stalkers are there every week standing
Gosh.
Rigid behind the rope.
I guess it's the delusional element, right? It's because there's like something that has nothing to do with you going on. Like the lights are on, but no one's home.
Right.
And they're making up some crazy story or something. And somehow you have to witness it or be a part of it. And you don't even, it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me. He used to bring this girl for a while that he was supposedly dating. And then she told me that he told her that I was his ex and that he was having trouble getting over me. And I'm like, and so she kind of like backed out of the relationship.
Mm.
She's like, well, you know, I understand if you guys are getting back together. And I'm like, I have never seen this guy outside of an event ever.
Get
so then I started
together.
Ignoring him. So then he found out that my roommates were playing music. So he started showing up at the shows. Like, you know, at the end when everyone was talking, he would listen to what my friends were saying. And I guess then he figured, well, I'm just at a show.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can stop me. So one time, because I just cut him off after he got that job. I'm like, I'm not even dealing with him. And one time he was trying to make me talk to him. He was kind of chasing me around this music club where my friends were playing. And literally my friends had to go out front and he followed them.
Really?
And my friend's girlfriend took me out the back and took me home. And I'm like, never again. So I called the cops and I've never had to call the cops on anybody.
Restraining order, whole nine yards?
I didn't have to go that far. They said before you get a restraining order, you have to tell him, if you don't leave me alone, I'll get a restraining order.
Yeah.
So the next day at the comedy club, he was all grinny because I said, I need to talk to you. And he was like, hoo, 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 ha, ha, my big day. And I was like, leave me alone. I'm getting a restraining order. And he jumped back like he'd been slapped. And I think that it probably happened to him before.
Mm.
It was not his first time around the restraining order.
Yeah.
And that was the end of him. He never bothered me again.
Yeah.
Don't have a whole lot of insight into it, but I guess my opinion or what I try to understand where they're coming from is that they severely lack in real intimate connections. So hearing your voice constantly, you're there on the radio, and they get to listen to you, and there's that kind of connection. They feel like they know you,
right?
And
right.
You don't know them.
That's a very, yeah, very genteel and philosophical way of saying that they're psycho star fuckers.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not just some girl in an office he picked out. You
right.
know, they have like a little fantasy of being with the radio host or the rock star or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're starfuckers.
That's funny.
But starfuckers gone bad. I mean, we're all starfuckers a little bit.
Yeah.
We have got our crushes, right? We got people that we're right. like attracted to, and we're
but
like, oh my gosh.
Starfuckers gone bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you're right. They don't have much of a real life. I don't think he had
yeah.
much of a life at all. They don't have like any real life. And they tend not to have friends and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Loners.
But how did he get the girl? To like?
I don't know. I know. And she was cute and nice too, but he, you know. I don't know what that was about. I felt bad for her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe some people just go for that, you know? Like Kara said, you know, I would like to be stalked, right?
I mean, literally, to all my potential future stalkers, I want to thank you in advance for thinking I'm cool enough to stalk me. But no, I really wouldn't want to have to actually really deal with it.
Yeah.
And most aren't like that.
Because it's scary, you know? I mean, it's scary. You don't know where people are going to draw the line, you
right.
know?
Right. There are very few you have to tell to go away. I probably had maybe five in my life, and he's the only one I ever called the cops about.
Right.
And it was only because he was starting to find out. I'm very private about where I live because mm-hmm. I'm very safe about my home environment because of that. Because you're on the air going, blah, 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 and I do this, and my mom, and this, and my nipples look like this, you know?
Right.
You learn to be quiet. I mean, be careful about where you actually inhabit your life.
Absolutely.
And he was starting to like get to know people that knew me and kind of trying to ingratiate himself into the circles. And I'm like, yeah, this weirdo's going to show up on my doorstep. So
yeah. Let's take a quick phone call.
Let's do it.
Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Sam. Listen, you know, you want, I'll stalk you.
You stalk me?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that anytime. I make love. You, I will masturbate and think about you, whatever. I love Jewish men.
Wow, that's nice.
Now, there you see. You see? Even if it's a guy, he'll stalk me.
Yeah, if you say stalker, they will come.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
already have
one. Oh, yeah. No, I would love to touch you all up and down your body, and I would like to be inside you and also outside you. And I love Jewish men.
Wow.
Wow. I hope you have some good gifts.
Give me a Jew any day. Oh, I love a Jew. How about you? Don't you love a Jew? I love Jews too. Yeah.
There you
go. I'll touch you.
How old are you?
I'll touch you. I'm 54.
Oh, wow.
I was going to guess 67.
No.
Do you listen? I'll stalk y'all too. I like ladies. I like ladies, and I'm bisexual. I like all things.
Well, cool. Bisexual.
Nice to have choices.
Talk y'all.
Yeah.
I'll touch you. Inside and out, up and down. I'll touch everybody, every inch of your body and your big, huge boobs.
Sounds good, man. Well, thanks for that, man. And
hey, TJ, you sick bastard.
We know it's TJ. We know it's TJ.
I didn't know it was TJ.
I wasn't going to give it away, but since
TJ,
you did.
TJ, I didn't know it was
great show.
You.
Great show this morning.
Thank you, TJ.
Hi, TJ.
TJ, I didn't know it was you. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
See? You see the brilliance that I... You see?
There you go.
It was comic mastery, TJ.
Yeah, there you
God
go.
Goddamn right.
He's a master.
Hey, it was a great show this morning,
He's
you guys. It was really fun talking about the psychic stuff and...
thank you, TJ.
Thank
and all
you,
that. It was very good. Yeah, it was really fun. I was listening to it. It was excellent.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, TJ.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you for not being a real stalker.
And, yeah.
I was getting a little scared with the inside and the outside. And
yeah. Everybody yeah. wants to listen to TJ every weekday morning at 7 to 9. The World of TJ
yeah.
McCormick, and you'll
yeah.
enjoy it every time.
Yeah.
TJ, thanks
yeah,
for calling.
Like, I love y'all. I love y'all.
We
I love y'all.
You
God bless.
I love you too, baby.
Wonderful.
Be good.
Yeah. So he wants to be in and out of my body. That's what he was saying.
That's pretty sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a. I was imagining a shower scene, foxhole. Some kind of gay porn was happening.
Wow.
It was pretty hot.
All right. Well, Sheena, go ahead and promote all your shows.
Oh, okay.
So people know.
Sheena Metal Experience is on every Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on LA Talk Radio. And then Music Highway every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then Haunted Playground is every Tuesday from 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we always, you know, I welcome phone calls, and you can go to LA Talk Radio and look at all my shows, and then from there you can find the websites for each show. And
sounds good.
Awesome.
And we got a little taste of Sheena today, and I know people are going to tune in.
Oh, great.
And thank you so much for joining us, Sheena.
It's fantastic. Anytime
it's
you just
always
want to talk,
fun.
I'll come in.
Yes.
Only for you guys would I get up before noon.
Yeah, that's what I figured, you know. It's a little too early for you.
That's okay. But, I can make myself do it.
Yeah, there you go. You don't look too tired, so that's good. And Kira, thank you so much, as
thank
always.
You, Sam. Samage, Sambo.
Sambo, Sam, everything. And okay, so we'll be here. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Friday, right? Yeah, tomorrow's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back here tomorrow.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station. Your talk station. We'll be right back.